another Wednesday. Guess who it is? ADHD crew. About that biz, we're about to do a show. What do you know? To all your friends, everyone who's in the know, this is the best show in the land. Tell your homies and tell your friends. Yeah, we have the original stuff. We don't edit, we don't mess with any of that stuff. ADHD crew, Cheech here on the keys like he do. Machete here, busting rhymes. Donate to our Patreon one more time. Give us money, hook us up. The shit ain't free, you know what's up. Please give us some money when you can. Pass this podcast to your friends. Can't stress that enough. Can you please subscribe? We all live here on the ADHD.
Welcome back.
Welcome. So I hear that you're close to finishing Mad Men.
I am close. I am one episode away from the season finale, series finale of Mad Men.
General consensus?
I was expecting a little bit more build up towards the end. I was expecting like a problem that would last at least like a few episodes. Well, it's really not.
You were literally on the last season. So what more, like the stuff was going to ramp up fast.
Yeah, but it didn't ramp up, though. Okay. Did it?
Spoilers. Yes, it did. Spoilers ahead. This we're going to go over right now. I'll tell you how it ramped up.
Okay. So the last thing I saw, can we go there first?
Yes.
Okay, so so when we left off, they're about to sell the company to that bigger firm, right?
Right.
McCann Erickson. Okay.
Yeah.
And they did it. And then I guess there was like a Series A, Series B thing for the last two seasons. So when they come back for the second half of the season, they're all really rich and moving over to the new place.
So you didn't find out yet that Bert Cooper died?
Yes, I did.
You didn't? Last time we talked?
Time I didn't. But yeah, now I did.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. And he died.
All right.
He did a musical number, which was strange.
How awesome was that?
I don't know. That was my weird.
Boy. Oh, so good.
That was so weird. Because he's so lucid. He's like dreamt dreamy stuff before, but usually he's like high or something like that. This time he was stone cold sober. Just started like hallucinating Bert a couple times. He did it. One time he did a musical number and once when he was driving. So they get into the new company. And nobody's really happy there except for Pete, kind of. But then Don is in a meeting and he realizes this is bullshit and he just fucking walks out.
What? Any thoughts on that? You didn't think like?
I thought it was just old classic Don Draper, just like fucking.
That was a significant part. Like the fact that you're glazing over that part, like
Yeah, it was significant.
It was amazing.
It was just like to his old form, like back when he actually had to do work and he was like, "This is stupid."
No, it's not that. It's not that, and I'll tell you why. Yoshi's here, by the way.
This is amazing. Two Latino guys are talking about privileged white people in 60s.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'll tell you why it's amazing.
Okay.
The part where he's in the board meeting.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about Miller Lite or something. And everyone has like a sandwich and everyone's okay, page 2.
Everyone's wearing the same clothes.
And he looks out the window and what does he see?
Can't remember what is.
Were you on your phone? I bet you're
on
your phone.
I was not.
You bastard! He sees a plane.
Okay, yes.
And he's focused on that plane.
Okay.
That plane represents freedom that he can't have because he's trapped.
I never knew you were such a big fan of Mad Men. I'm very happy to hear it.
Love that shit.
Why do you like it so much?
Because it's a bomb. First off, I have a man crush on Don Draper.
I was going to say he's got a man crush for sure.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
like Don Draper's character?
I like his character. I like the fact that his talent, his genius is in his mystique and his ability to call upon his creativity on demand.
You know what's so strange? I saw John Hamm for the first time and only time at the Brody's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was attracted to him.
he was just. It's a tough one for him because it's like you played a James Bond role. Like, I mean, I don't know what movie or TV show he could do next could surpass
that.
He
hasn't been in that much after that.
It's like you've been president twice. You know?
So there's, he took a hiatus for like a year or two.
Yeah.
Came back and did, Baby Driver or Driver Baby or whatever.
Oh, yeah, he was in that. That was good.
Yeah.
He did some comedy stuff.
He started to do more movies. Comedies. He just recently was in...
What?
No, like he just had something. Super recent. Anyway, let me look it up.
There was one moment in there that I thought was really good when that... The little guy at the agency got fired for, like, he tried using one of Don's lines saying, like, surprised you're showing your face here. You really embarrassed yourself last time, you asshole, or something like that.
Yeah.
And he got fired for it.
Right.
But what he told Don, which I thought was pretty funny, was, like, he's like, Don told him, like, you need to have some character and accept this like a man or something that. And he's like... Character, you have no character. You're just good looking.
He goes, what's his name? Roger tells that same story, and you know what he says? He says that guy wanted to fuck you or some shit.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. What was that guy's?
The guy from the cigarette company from Lucky Strike.
Mm.
That, and then also his daughter said the same thing to him because like both of their parents. I mean, it must be a weird experience when you're growing up with, like, both of your parents are, like, ridiculously good-looking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what she told him in one episode, like, you and mom just, like, get treated well. Yeah, you just get treated well just because you're gorgeous.
Yeah. And I remember when Betty started doing her own thing with the politics, and they're trying to get her to approach, what's his name? Is it Frank? I don't know who it is.
Her new husband.
What's her new husband?
Harry? No.
He's the politician guy.
Yeah.
So when they ask her to like reach out to him, she's like, oh, I don't want to do that. They're like, no, quit pretending that you're not adorable because that's adorable. It was just like everybody wants to be Betty. Like her friends want to be her. You know what I mean?
She's such a bitch.
But when you watch this show, you realize how much America has seduced the whole planet. The advertisement, you know, you're selling people fantasy. And the fact that this guy,
I think
it's not even his real name, Don Draper, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of deception, lies, and, you know.
And you know what? Even the fact that he's really good looking kind of is to that same kind of like – glamorous advertising, you know, shine you put on everything is that he's selling it to these companies and he's like really good looking and that helps sell it.
Yeah.
It's really glamorous, you know.
It's very glamorous.
He's so mysterious because he, you know, whatever.
The fact that he comes from such a modest and like a white trash background, he knows what public need to be motivated and move, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's if you buy goods and service that Don Draper is trying to sell to you, it's going to make your life better. You're going to be a happier person, a better looking person.
Yeah.
You know.
So the movie I was thinking that Don Draper was in, he's like Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. But that came out in 2018. He has a bunch of stuff coming up. The Report that's coming out in 2019. The Good Omen, which is coming out this year as well. So, yeah, just keep a lookout for John Hamm. Yeah.
But I think Mad Men, the last episode, it's one of the great finishes to TV series.
Should have watched this.
The ending?
I should have watched the last episode.
But you know, there's just a lot of different.
Don't you think so? I mean, it was one of the great endings.
I think the series was great, and they gave you a nice ending.
So they're coming. So I was expecting that there was going to be like a bit of like an arc over the last like four or five episodes. All right,
so first off,
and there's never been one on the whole show, so I don't know why I expected that all of a sudden.
Well, the thing is, a lot of stuff started to happen like all at once.
Yeah.
So after Bert died, like they didn't need Bert to have they can overthrow Don. Right, so there was this whole, like, you don't find any of that fascinating?
It was all good.
Okay.
But I felt like it built up a little bit, and then it just dropped back down.
Well, it's going to end.
And then it dropped back down before the ending. Instead of, like, increasing, it was, like, increasing and then dropped back down. And then right now, it's kind of going a little flat towards the end.
So you're out where he just took off.
Yeah, so he still took off. He got beat up by those guys because somebody told them they robbed him. He robbed them.
Wow, how crazy is that, right?
Yeah, it was crazy, but it still doesn't have anything for the overall major story.
I think you're looking at this wrong. Cheech is like, look, the story is John Hamm.
Yeah.
John Hamm's character, Don Draper. That is the whole thing. Everything else was just, he doesn't care about money. He doesn't care to be a part
Gave his car away.
Gave his fucking car away. Uh-huh. Money doesn't interest him. It doesn't hold any value to him. He has a shit ton of it. And by the way, did you see that when he was not with his wife and his wife was cashing his checks? Like, you saw how much he made, and you know what I mean? Like, it was like $900 every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a lot of
money back then. Whatever the check.
And he gave her a check for $1 million.
Whatever the check it was like, at the time, I did like a Google search and like, what is that worth today's money? And quite a sum of money. And there's no bitterness on his part. It's just like, you know, just write the check, not angry, just move on to a next chapter of his life. But I wish you'd have seen the last one because I was astonished.
You could watch it here.
Because it was kind of a little ambiguous. Like, I didn't know what it meant in a way. Mm. I couldn't interpret it good things or cynical.
I wish we should have.
So I know Betty. I know I should have fucking. Well, it's okay. Betty has cancer now.
Yeah. She's going to die.
She's going to die. but you know what I'm saying? Like,
you think it's really weird that here's her husband advertisement promote cigarettes for advertising. So people like Betty will smoke cigarettes. Now she's facing the consequences of those advertisement and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of layers to this. She just,
but,
not
so when you watch, but you're watching Game of Thrones right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now that show has been building for seasons.
You watch it?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm caught up. Are you caught up?
Oh, yeah.
That show has been building for seasons,
yes.
This story, to like the, it's going to be like what the biggest, it's supposed to be like the biggest climax, you know, in television history, probably, because the way it's been, it's all been going to same thing.
I'm going
to
predict they're going to fuck it up, but because the books, they already surpassed the books.
But a lot of shows, you know, like they'll have like a story that goes over this season and then a story that ends. They wrap up each season has a new story. But this show has been building from the very beginning all the way to now, which
it's
amazing.
It's a critical monoculture. It's like one of those things that transcend different race and religion, things like that. It's going to be a long time. We're going to have another TV, a movie that will move people like this, you know?
Yeah, you think so?
Because as good as Soprano and Breaking Bad, the number is not even close to Game of Thrones.
No.
And a lot of people got kind of caught up at the moment. But I feel bad for the future viewer of their show. Because
it's all going to be spoiled.
They're going to binge, right? But
yeah.
The way we watch it, we anticipate in like a year between.
Waiting.
When you watch the episode, you relish each moment. Mm-hmm. Like it's like having a really great meal.
Yes.
Like every cut and every chew, you really get a lot of out of it. But they're not going to have that experience like we do.
And not just that.
I say the same thing happened when Cheech is experiencing Mad Men.
But the other thing about this, about Game of Thrones, is like this last season.
Yeah.
Now, like every week, you know, we're going to somebody else's house and we're all watching it as a group.
Sure.
And it's kind of making it even more. No, I mean, that's... It's so built up.
It's so old school.
But the thing is,
this is the last show.
My point is that even most shows, they have like a story that's arching over the season, and I feel like that's the one thing for Mad Men that never had. It just goes on. It's just like another day, another day, another day.
Mad Men had a critical acclaim, but did not have a popular popularity at all. You know.
So $1,000 in 1960s now in. This is from 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not current 2019. So $1,000 in 2016 in 1960, $1,000 would have been worth in 2016 $7,108.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Damn, that's dope.
So I mean, it was assumed that it was every 2 weeks because that's
it's his paycheck.
I mean?
Yeah.
So he was getting paid that much money.
Wow.
Yeah. So
they're disgustingly rich.
So look at the part.
Peggy told Joan that.
Yeah.
She's like, you're filthy rich. You could do whatever you want.
I have to say, I don't talk to him anymore because we got a big fight. But the guy who does have that kind of talent is David Cho, because guys like that, they're good at seducing people, you know?
Really?
Oh, absolutely. And whether it's the writers or directors, there's people out there with that kind of talent. They don't care if they lose some of their money because they're so talented. They'll figure out a way to make money again.
They'll make it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, one of the reasons why I really liked it is because it just really documented like this little time and how accurate they were in like really portraying history. When I first heard the name Mad Men, I thought it was stupid. I was like, that's dumb, because I was like, Mad Men, that like I didn't understand that term.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, first frame says Mad Men, and I didn't know that was a historical fact where that's what they called Madison Avenue advertisement. Yeah. I was just like, okay. So that whole title thing I thought was stupid. It's like, I had no idea, no reference.
Fixed it right away.
It fixed that problem for me. And when you go through the whole series of them having, you know, JFK assassination, you have the Marilyn Monroe passing, overdosing, you have all these
Robert issues. Robert Kennedy, moon landing.
Moon landing, the whole nine. The way they kind of document history and you see it through their eyes.
That was cool.
That's what it's about.
I think the show is really well done. It's like all the historical accuracy, what do you think
about the wardrobe?
It's perfect. Like, it's all perfect.
Like set dressing.
I was just talking about the overall story. Like I feel like build up tension. That's what I'm talking about.
The fact that it's like Time Machine, that you see how much drinking we're going at work.
That's a
sexual harassment. And Black people only allowed to talk when you walk into elevator, pretty much.
Oh, Remember that? In the very beginning of the show, yeah.
Yeah. So all those things, it's like I didn't even realize that drinking problem. I thought, that's a nice little wink. That's an actual fact that everyone knew that they had a heavy drink, like Mad Men had a heavy drinking problem, and it was just documented. Like they had such a problem that it was actually noted in history. Mm. So just seeing all that stuff happen, that for me was just like it was just a nice little look at America through the most privileged way you could see it, kind of like it's funny how they mentioned Atlas Shrugged, right?
Yes.
And Ayn Rand. So when you see that they reference that, basically that the people who are on the top should, you know what I mean, should basically stay on top and be wonderful and as amazing as they
are. Well, her philosophy was that the world is run by creative types, you know, and if the creative people are not allowed to do what they do, the whole world will just crash, you know.
I gotta read that book. It's too big.
It's a huge book.
Yeah, I know.
I read it years ago, but
I'm always intimidated.
I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff there now.
Well, it's very one-sided. I mean, from what I saw the cliff notes on, when I read the back of the sleeve.
what I heard in Mad Men.
But yeah, I mean, so for me, I really enjoy that whole era. I always thought that I was an old soul, but like, one of the things is
love new now.
when you listen to Led Zeppelin, for example, and you listen to something new that you want to like listen to now, maybe you listen to like Mexican music, like banda or cumbia or something, you don't get the same thing from each genre of music. So like with the suspense build up and everything, it's more subtle and it's very like in between the lines. It's not out in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it really just depends on what you're like. You're not going to get the same thing from a country song that you're going to get from a rock song or a rap song. So this big tension that you're building up in the story arc, I think that was also the brilliance of it, is because there really wasn't
there for sure wasn't.
That's what I'm saying. There wasn't a story arc.
I don't know if I've ever watched a show that's like that
and we're interested in it. Would you have finished this if this wasn't an assignment?
I probably would have fell off that first time. I think this made me go back.
Wait,
and get
you
into
told
it.
Him to watch this show?
We
switched shows. So I was watching Mad Men, he was watching Sopranos.
Yeah. I picked back up, by the way.
Oh, you did? Okay. And I don't think I've ever watched a show like this where it just nothing happens.
This is actually kind of great because you are watching two of like four or five shows that consider Mount Rushmore of a great television, you know?
Yeah, I've never watched Sopranos. I didn't have cable when I was growing up, so I was just like, you know, that started in 1999,
Yeah.
I recently watched that college episode when they're visiting the him and his daughter visiting.
So good.
I think I was trying to figure out like why were they making such a big deal, because I watched all the previous episode until that one when I saw like holy shit this is something different, you know. And
it was the way they showed the actual strangulation of the guy. It was just very intense. I did not see, like, because until then I don't think we saw a kill from Tony Soprano yet, so I never saw how vicious he can get.
Did you ever get to the part where the thing that happened to a psychologist?
Oh, she got raped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, didn't it make you so mad when she didn't tell him?
Yeah.
That was so frustrating for me. Yeah. Like, just tell him. He will kill that guy for sure.
But that's why she doesn't want that, I don't think.
I know, but it's so frustrating because we want it.
Yes. Of course.
She does want it too, but she doesn't. But like her ethics wouldn't allow her to do it. Man. That was frustrating.
Yeah.
Can I ask you... when Joan slept with that guy in Madman,
the car guy,
the Jaguar guy,
what was your both of a reaction to that one?
I remember
when Don heard about it, he was upset by it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, "No, let's not do it. We could win it with creative alone." End of story. He walks out the room, and then the partners continue the conversation and say, "Well, you know, we should need
it's
all
up
our
to you.
We need all the advantages we can get." So, without Don's approval to vote on it, they went ahead with giving her the 5%.
But I have to say, years later, when she had a partnership in her share in a company,
it was totally worth it.
That look on her face told me everything. Like, holy shit, she's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not to say everything's okay. But
so there's a few times when they're taking the company public, right? And they're saying, when Pete's reading off, like, they're okay, we're gonna sell it at $11 a share, right? And Bert wanted 12. He wanted nothing below. He goes, I want 12 and above. At 11 and change share, that made Jones 5% stake at $500,000. $500,000.
Yeah, yeah, $500,000.
$500,000. And she got flustered and she just stopped. The look on her face, it was just like one of the, like Yoshi said, is this made it worth it. And we have to thank Lane.
But they never actually
think about it. $500,000 now is a lot.
Yeah.
$500,000 in 60s.
Well, then later on when they sold the company, she was up for like $2 million.
She only got she got,
but
half.
she backed out.
No, I think she only got like 250,000 or something.
That's still a lot.
Wait, no, they got, well, she was supposed to get 2 million if she stayed out her contract, but then she got sexually harassed by that one dude there.
Yeah.
So they said, we'll give you 50 cents on the dollar, and then she took that. So she got.
So yeah, yeah. So
that's $1 million.
Well, what do you think about all that? Like Like there is a big story. Is there something that you're missing that where they did not want to get bought out by the big guy, but that was the only way that they could save Don's position to be back as a boss?
Yeah, and then he walked out on it.
Yeah, and then they finally give in. They're gonna go, no, you know what? Why don't we just do another company called
Yeah, and they had that whole plan to do the West Coast thing,
right? And so then the whole objective is for them not to be working for these big corporations and to sell out for the man, right? But you always wonder, what is Don so afraid of? Why can't he just fucking be that guy?
Well, he never wanted a contract.
Now he's locked in for another 2 years, right? And he's
because he always wants his escape route ready.
Why?
Because that's his go-to move.
I know, but why is
too heavy? He's like, I've got to get.
Why is it though? Why can't he just be that brilliant person? That because he with that kind of platform, with his brilliance and creativity, what can stop him from being the greatest admin in the world? Stay tuned for episode.
Oh. Are you teasing the last episode?
Yeah, teasing. You see the last episode, but you know, because we can't talk about it because it's intense. Because you just wonder how is he going to fall short. He's a one thing. All right. So there is another reason why I really fucking love this show. That you could just walk, like Don Draper, for example, can walk out of that room, that boardroom, into his car and drive across the fucking country, and nobody knows where he's at. No one, no cell phone.
Yeah.
There's no one who could get a hold of him. There's like this crazy, immense freedom the original freedom people get when they get an automobile in America. Mm. They have like highway systems that are connected throughout this whole great nation of ours. Mm. And you can literally get in your car and go anywhere just you disappear. Want. Disappear. And I get the lure of that, but in true reality, you cannot do that today. If you have a cell phone on you, you're going to fucking update your Facebook status. You're going to fucking, you're going to Instagram stories, your fucking trip. And it was none of that shit.
I mean, you could do it.
You have to be pretty disciplined about it, though.
Yeah.
There's no way you cannot be found. You'll be found. Period. 1,000%.
No.
1,000%.
I don't think so. If you left a note, they can't report you to the cops. If you say, "Hey, I'm going, I'm leaving," they can't report it to the cops because he told them, and then you're gone. You don't have to come back. You don't have to.
Well, that's the whole point, though. Is what I'm saying is you can't just up and leave, and no one know where you go. Well, if you leave a note, it's not illegal. I'm not saying about legalities. I'm talking about
like if you just left, it would be very hard to find you if you didn't want to.
I don't think it'll be that. I think it'll be harder than you think. I think it's harder than you think. If people who care about you are looking for you, they'll find you.
If you don't take your cell phone?
Yep. Even if you don't take your cell phone.
If you don't take your cell phone, it's really hard unless you get the cops involved.
Okay.
But if you don't.
So in your car, you drive in your car. What's in your car?
Yeah, but they don't have access to that unless they go to the cops.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the only way you'd have to get the police involved to find
something. So even if you were to get the police involved, literally he can. Like you wouldn't be able to find Don Draper is what I'm saying.
No.
He can be fucking Dick Whitman. And then move back to California and just live like a fucking whatever. You know what I mean? He could do that, like regardless if he went to the cops or not, regardless if he lost his job. There's cameras everywhere that's going to catch you going to a CVS to fucking buy fucking deodorant. If
you
wanted,
you're definitely – there's no way you could get away.
That's what I'm saying. There's everybody is looking at you no matter what. There's no way to escape it. Mm-hmm. That is the allure and the brilliance and a little bit of the romanticizing I do when I watch that show. It's a simpler time. Like low-key maybe.
Just leave all this shit here.
You know, I feel like there's a rat race trap that is about to happen to the America that he's still in touch with that side that you can
being anonymous,
being able to pick up and leave, and being able like there's still a big allure, and I romanticize about that because like I said, like it's just one of those shows that really just is very historic.
I think when you were asking that question, whether like why does he want to have that escape route and stuff like that. I think it's because he realized how much it did for him that first time he did it. He left his whole life, which he hated, completely behind by just using that escape route thing.
Exactly.
So he's just that works so well for him that's his go-to because he's like, I'll just do that again. And
you're talking about like even with the military, right?
Yeah, when he took that guy's name. Yeah.
Yeah. So that being said, yes, and I do agree, but there's something really deep about the reason why did he want to escape? Well, he
hated his life.
He hated it.
He hated his family.
Everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, he became this other person, and he was able to start fresh and brand new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say, like, is that a part? Sometimes I saw this random ass meme, and it was a inspirational meme that came up where it said to be successful, to be, especially coming from humble beginnings, being, you know, rich and being successful takes a lot of courage, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean courage, and maybe we can argue what exactly that means, but what I'm really getting at is on Don Draper's character. He's a bit of a coward, right? Mm-hmm. He's a bit like deep down, no one really knows about him. Did you hear
he's coward in his personal matters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's fearless when it comes to work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cause I think he truly understands his situation, you know, like, especially when he does creatively, it's really as a creative person, I feel that I identify with some of that. I'm like not not preparing and then coming up with something brilliant on the fly. I think that's something.
Yeah,
you know,
I do that all the time.
No, but the thing is, it's not just a lack of preparation. It's really thinking.
Not giving a fuck.
It's really thinking very intensely. Like he had this saying that he said before that yeah. I think about something very intensely about
and then forget it
and forget about it. Take a nap. And forget about it, and you wake up.
It'll come to you,
and it'll come to you. And I truly, truly believe that. And he didn't think about that. I mean, he was racking his fucking brain over that slogan at the beginning, the first episode. And when that came to him, that means he just didn't stop. The guys were literally out the door, and he still didn't stop. He had to stop. You know what I mean? Like other people would have just folded and said, "Well, I didn't come up with it. I fucked up." But he was still in it. Because all it takes is a second. There's a power behind a fucking second. That
can I? Can I? Sorry, I was checking messages and stuff. Did you guys talk about Peggy Olson at all?
No,
not today, but no, yeah. We have.
Do you think Don was good to her or bad to her?
I think he made her into like a mini version of him, but she's nicer than he is, I think. But she acts like him a lot. I think
he helped her realize she is a very smart and talented person.
Yeah, he helped her become who she is. I think, for sure.
At the beginning, he was also a dick to her. It wasn't really. I think it kind of just came as like an accident almost, because he really just wanted to get under Pete's skin, right? That's why he made her. Yeah. Made her like a junior.
Oh, yeah, put her on the account or something. Yeah.
And then put her on Clearasil, or whatever. All this other stuff. But anyway, I just think when it comes to Peggy, I think she's definitely she's a great character. She's one of my favorite characters, actually. There's, all these people have redeeming qualities in some way. You know what I mean? Like all the whole staff. But I don't know. Just, those are the things, the reason why I was saying earlier, that's the reason why I like the show, is because it's just historically accurate, a nice peek at this certain time and place. And I romanticize about just being anonymous, being able to pick up and leave and start a new life under a new name.
Oh, shit.
But you know, because we live in Hollywood and it's not a different from Madison Avenue, it's they're selling dreams and fantasy to people. And Don was the best in the business. And it was so fun to see him. What was the...
sell an idea.
What was that, that comedy from 60s? Samantha something. She's a witch. She's married
Bewitched.
To... Bewitched. Bewitched, yeah. Right? And her husband's an advertisement, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me, like... I used to think, like, oh, that's... It's as a like kid and growing up in Japan, like, oh, that's all white people do, like advertisement, you know? And but... Every episode, there was a problem with advertisers.
They're all advertisers and witches.
And they figure out how to. They have a client, and they have a product or service they want to sell, and somehow Samantha will help Darren figure out at each episode. You know, and years after seeing Mad Men, it's like I like people in that profession. It's a really interesting. Like every day, it's not the same day. It's just like you have a different client, and you got to figure out. You know, like even her kind of trying to help Peggy figure out. You know, like they will pitch all those different ideas, and everybody's bad except for Peggy usually, right?
Yeah.
And Peggy's like the hard ass, and she's like, there's this one time where she came up with that Lady Godiva bit on the fly. So I guess it was like this perfume and they didn't like the idea. So she switched it over from like it being like a Hard Day's Night idea to the opposite, where it's like the woman saves the man. And she comes up with that idea. So she tells Don, oh, yeah, like, you know, Peggy came up with this amazing idea. Everyone's like boasting about her. She came up with this amazing idea on the fly, and then she's all right, we'll tell Ginsburg, it's his account. And she's like, wait a second, I came up with that idea. And Don grabs money and says, you want to go to fucking Paris? And he throws it right in her face after she literally saved this account.
Yeah,
Don could give a fuck. Everybody's just like, holy shit, we just witnessed Peggy basically doing a Don Draper.
Yeah,
right, coming up with something amazing on the fly. And Don Draper fucking punishes her for it, and she doesn't cry. Remember, she's in the office, and then what's his name? Ken? Is it Ken? Kenny? I don't know. Is that whatever? He comes in and says, and she goes, I'm not crying. And she has a drink in her hand. She goes, no, I didn't think you were. Like, but it was just like after that, she should have been devastated. But she has thick skin.
remember that one year she said, like, you don't give me goddamn credit. You don't help me. And yeah. Don goes, I fucking, well, he doesn't say fucking, but I fucking pay you.
Goes, you never give me any credit. He goes, that's what the money is for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love that line. It was one of my favorite lines.
I got to get going, but I want to make a quick note. Okay. You guys can continue after I leave on Mad Men, but this might be of interest to you.
Okay.
I went to Denver last week. What day is today? April
24th.
Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I was there last Wednesday, and when I landed, what's her name from Florida was running around Denver because of the Columbine thing, and they were in high alert.
Right. What's her name from Florida? Who are you talking about?
This lady was obsessed with Columbine. She flew from Florida to Denver. She bought a gun, and they thought she was going to go around shooting people.
Oh, really?
So they canceled the school last Wednesday.
Oh.
Then that night, early next morning, they found her body. She killed herself. Here's the weird part. She was a student of Columbine, but she obviously learned the wrong lesson because you're supposed to kill other people, not yourself, you know? But that night on Wednesday, I went to Denver Press Corps. So it's a very prestigious thing, and it's where all the media types show up, whether you're in radio, TV, or newspaper. Mm-hmm. And it was an event about reminiscing what happened 20 years ago in Columbine. Mm-hmm. So there was a moderator, a guy representing the police. His job was to let the public know what was going on. And second person was a radio personality. He was talking. He was on radio when the whole thing was happening, a journalist and a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking 90 minutes, right? Like, it was really interesting. Like, I forgot that during the shooting, they were trying to contact students, and they don't have Google back then. So what they did was they got a previous year's Columbine annual book with the listing of all the students'
yearbook.
And they went to Yellow Pages and tried to use the last name and call each one of them and say, are you X, Y, and Z's parents, blah, blah, blah. So it was a lot of work back then, right?
Yeah.
And I listened to 90 minutes. Then there was Q&A. There was a lady sitting a couple rows ahead of me, and she was talking for a long time. It was like, after I kind of hear what she was saying, but like it was going for a long fucking time. Like, okay, what is your fucking question, lady? I thought she was a crazy person. Then her husband got a mic from her, talked for a little bit. Then all of a sudden, he pulled his finger and pointed to the guy representing the police department and said, you lying motherfucker. Oh, lying fucker. And got, imagine the most nicest office, nicest like steakhouse kind of atmosphere. The walls really oak floor and like it's nice place. Pictures of people winning Pulitzer and things like that. So I kind of stunned me because it's not a place that you hear people talking like that. So the guy, the moderators knew who they were, said, it's not right. You shouldn't be talking to people like that. I have to ask you to leave. And keep hearing other people talk afterwards. And then after the whole event, I pitched again and find out. I remember who they were. They are the parents of Brooks Brown, if I remember right.
Oh, one of the kids who did it?
No. He was considered, at the time, the third Columbine shooter.
Oh.
What happened was he walked out of school, wanted to grab a cigarette, and while he was smoking cigarettes, he saw Eric Harris, one of the shooter, Dylan Clevo, the two shooters, walked in, and they basically said, I don't know word to word what they say, but they said, get the fuck out of here. Get out of here. So he left. He didn't know what they were going to do, but he left.
Oh.
And here's a disclaimer. Eric Harris, the psychopath, he had America Online blog back in the time, and he already put all this thing about what he's going to do. He's going to kill a lot of people. Can't wait till he kill people. They had clips of them making pipe bombs, on and on. You know, they're just like, right? And he had a list of people, and
Oh, shit. It was just getting good, dude.
On the list, Eric said he's going to kill Brooks Brown, right? Because they had a skirmish in the neighborhood. They were mad at each other. Mm-hmm. But Clevo's the one told him to get out of here. So anyway, because he went home a couple of days later, people thought he was one of the suspects.
He knew about it or something.
Well, he knew he left because they told him to get the fuck out of here there. But he didn't know what they were going to do, even though he has met those guys, you know, year before that. Because one of them brought pipe bombs to work, and they had video clips of shooting range and things like that. So anyway, the parents are upset because for the last 20 years, to this day, some people still think he's a shooter, you know? So for people to public shame or threaten you or stalk you, you know, it's rough. And anybody listening to this interested, I didn't know until a couple of days after that event, Brooks was on Doug Sanhope's podcast last summer.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and he sounded really with a good sense of humor, you know? You know, it's been like last year's 19 years since then, but the parents are still upset because you could feel the anger because this is somebody that they care about, and they, you know, they just happen to know the guy. Wow. And they even reported them before the shooting, like, there's a problem with these kids. The school and cops didn't do anything. Mm. To be fair, they never experienced something like this, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm telling you, that was the best $8 I ever spent because I thought it was going to be like a lecture, you know? But that sound that guy made, how angry he was about the whole
thing. What was he saying they were lying about, though?
I think within a short amount of time, they probably knew that he wasn't the shooter, but they didn't go actively in public and say he was clear of that. I don't think they did. And there was some kind of... Judy Brown, and I forgot the dad's name, but they keep saying there was some kind of secret meeting when the police met and they had those information. But yeah, because they still little, those the parents still live in Littleton, Colorado, you know, where the school's at. So it must be really, really weird.
So they never like cleared his name publicly.
Doesn't sound like it. Yeah. But that was Wednesday. Then Thursday, I went to a service church. And then there's a bunch of people there, like two speakers who actually survived. And the principal was there too. And what was weird is like he said he got sued by like eight people or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know all the detail, but, you know, just imagine like you're a principal and a bunch of kids are getting killed. He run to the shooter and tried to save people and, you know, you get sued and... Yeah, I can't imagine what's that like.
What were you doing there? Did you just go there for that?
Half of it, but I also working on this like the porn project. Uh-huh. So there's a place I needed to go, Greeley, Colorado, and I want to thank Ian and Jeff. I just tweeted, and these people give me rides and let me stay in their place and things like that. But it was pretty intense. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but I'm glad. Religion's helping those people because they're still dealing with it, you know. And it's really weird to see these kids you saw getting shot at, and they were kids 20 years ago. Now they're old. See them with the receding hair. I mean, they're still younger than me, but they're losing hair.
Kids and families.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. And Dylan and then Brooks in Doug Sanhope's podcast from August of last year. Man, it was really creepy. Not creepy. It was really sad. But when he was watching the footage and news, and he saw people jumping out of the... I'm sure you guys saw that years ago, mm-hmm. people jumping out of a building. For him, it was different because he'll say like, oh my God, that's Jimmy. Or he knew every one of those people he saw.
That's crazy.
On screen, like, oh my God, I know every one of those kids running out of the school, you know? So... Yeah, and that's people got mad. Like, police said 30 people dead. And what happened, SWAT team went in, and they would count certain number of bodies in different room. And sometimes they would overcount somebody twice or something, you know? I mean, because it's chaotic. And
they got the count wrong.
It was pretty intense hearing them talk like that, you know? And but I got to say, I got to leave, but... At my advanced age, I want to do the right thing. I want to think positive. But terrible thoughts has popped in my head, you know. Right, and because there's a couple of girls who are dressed in very provocative outfit at the church. Like I thought it was a little weird.
Yeah.
This young girl was sitting kind of two rows in front of me. Her pants were so low. You could see her ass crack at this church.
Right. And you don't want are you conflicted that you find such a young lady so attractive? Or is what's the
I don't conflict if you've seen attractive girls attractive. They're like, but did they have to dress like that at the church? Yeah. And this gal has like bless you or whatever, they're very sweet, but she had low cut top.
Yeah. She sounds sweet.
Tits sticking out with the crucifix between her neck and look like Jesus trying to reach them apples, right? Going back and forth. And then but he can't because he's got nailed to the fucking cross.
Damn.
And, you know, and
it's pretty tight.
I thought maybe somebody should make a dating app for people who survive massive shooting. You know what I mean? Like, because they could share the same, you know, like you could call the app Sandy Hookup or Boning for Columbine. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. But couldn't help it. You have to balance like both holy and unholy thoughts anyway. But I think my friend's here. So right,
thanks for sharing, you.
But I'm glad you're watching these two great shows because they're really great storytelling and they're a wonderful show. And since you guys, everybody's watching Game of Thrones, I don't have to recommend it. I'm glad you're watching Soprano.
No, he's not watching it.
At the moment.
Tell Ernie to watch Game of Thrones.
It's incredible.
I just started it.
But if I could recommend a show that you guys have talked to, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's Fleabag. It's Fleabag. Incredible.
I haven't heard of that. Right.
Well, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, so check it out, guys.
All right, thanks, Yosh. All right. Follow Matt Yosh, Yobayashi, on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow Matt Yosh.
can you hook me up with that juice?
Huh?
Hook my phone up with that juice, bro. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. All you have to do is listen to that, watch that last episode. We should just watch it together right now. We go order some lunch. We'll do a little. So,
well, find out what I think later on.
Yeah, we shall. You know what? Maybe just hold off for the last episode. I'll power through the Sopranos, and next time we talk about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You that close? Where you at?
I'm on episode 5, season 5.
Okay, so you're pretty close.
So the 6, 7, and then shit. 8. Is there 8 or
no 7? I think
6, 7.
I think there's 6A and 6B or something like that. But that's it.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit, for real?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate you guys chilling with us this whole way around. So if you guys want to follow us, we're at ADHDcast on everything. If you want us on email us.
Tell us what to watch next.
Yeah, we can watch some stuff. But you know what? I don't think we're going to do this anymore. After this, I think, you know, you said that, you know.
See how the response is.
It hasn't been. It's been silent. It's been radio silent. But, you know, no news is good news, I guess. Yeah.